Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Show through BBS Radio. We're on every second Saturday at 4 to 6 Eastern. My background is as a clinical and forensic psychologist, and my usual interest used to be what was happening in mysticism and science and studies along that line. But over the last year, I've kind of diverted my attention and am having to focus on what's happening in the world. It's like what's happening in the world is so terrible that unless humankind wake up, we're facing very dire consequences. We really are. And as I purview the world today, what we see is all the national governments have really been taken over by these globalist corporations and banksters. And really, we're in a very sad situation. We have these psychopathic elites through these bankers and corporations that are hijacking our planet and planning to reduce population of our planet. This isn't simply stuff that goes on over in the Middle East or elsewhere in the world. It's happening here in Canada and the U.S. and Great Britain and Europe, everywhere. We have this criminal, Kabbalistic banksters and corporate elite, and they really are trying to exterminate us and using various means to do this. Everything from your inoculations, which are given to children so that they have, in the States, I think it's 40 of them by the time they're 5 or 6 years old, and elsewhere. We have these chemtrails being sprayed from the sky. We have smart meters on our home, which are irradiating us with all these adverse electromagnetic radiations. We're facing serious problems, and there's a lot of people on the inside who are just going along with all of this. To me, as a mystic scientist, it's really all quite unbelievable. I could never have believed such a horrible thing has been done to the human race. And now we're having to try to face this problem, and the Zero Point Show is just one of those shows trying to address these major, major issues. Last year, I took a trip across Canada, and when I came back, I went to the 9/11 conference in Vancouver, and when I came back, I had a hard time finding my right words for things and finding the pronunciation of things. Anyway, what I've managed to do is get a really good co-host on with me, and she's going to carry the show, and that's Dee Nicholson. Hi, Dee. How are you?
I'm well, Christopher. Everything about me but my stomach, because I'm getting sick over the things you just mentioned. I'm just getting sick to my stomach.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like our government is so into fighting terrorism, but what they don't realize is the government is part of the terrorist organization.
I think they realize it, Christopher. I think they know damn well what they're doing, and I think they know exactly how they're going to how people are going to respond when they understand the full depth of it all. And I think this is the reason why they're so secretive and they're so unaccountable and they're so irresponsible, is because we're letting them get away with that part of it, and they're using that to go behind our backs and do all this stuff without our permission, without our knowledge, you know, without anybody being consulted. Parliament can't speak. You know, there's a huge row going on up in Parliament right now because MPs are being muzzled.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been brewing for a while, and I'm hearing more and more confirmation of the fact that, you know, people even in the Harper government are being very, very, very angry because they can no longer represent their constituents. They have to follow the party line, absolutely. Elizabeth May sent out a piece last week on behalf of the Green Party, and she was saying that, you know, this is something that we really, really need to get a hold of, because it's pretty interesting how it's being seen, and you know, bearing in mind she's the leader of an opposition party. Okay, but she is essentially saying, now wait a minute here, we're not here as teams, we are here as representatives of constituents, and we're not supposed to be just wearing the right color t-shirt, you know, as a uniform in the House of Commons. That's not what this deal is about. But, you know, and I have to agree with her completely. What's going on is that Parliament is being treated in a way it's never been treated before.
Yeah.
And, you know, essentially, since all these trade agreements have been signed, our courts are hampered, which leads to something that I know you wanted to discuss, which is Obama's support of the Monsanto Protection Act. That's not actually the name of the act, but that's what it's called by, you know, the people, because essentially this act puts Monsanto as a corporation above the law. The courts can no longer intervene, even if it is proven that a genetically modified crop does damage. Nobody can go after Monsanto. Nobody.
Well, it's so incredible that that would be done.
Yeah, well,
Obama.
See, here's the point. Here's the point. And this is what people are not getting. Okay? They need to get the point. It's the same point. I've been hammering the same point for 10 years. Now it's I told you so time. And if you don't like hearing the words I told you so, you'd best shut off the computer right now. Because I'm telling you, I told you so. And a whole bunch of other people told you so, too, that when these trade agreements get signed, they are international contracts. They direct what our government does, not the people. So your democracy goes out the door. Your constitution goes out the door. All of your ability to make domestic laws goes out the door. And what they're doing is exactly what Obama did in the States. They are sneaking in little clauses and phrases into acts that they pass that set up the conditions so that when all these trade agreements start being enforced full bore, they're going to turn around and say, but it's already in our law. We're not changing our law for them. It's already in our law. And what we're finding out is that they have collaborated together, these members of the G20, they have collaborated together, and they are now setting the stage for a world takeover with the trade groups at the helm. They are the only form of government we have right now is these trade groups, because
wow,
they are the top law. Now, what is happening with the Monsanto deal is that because Monsanto is put above the level of the courts, what they're doing is they're acknowledging Monsanto as part of the trade agreements and the profitability clauses and all that kind of stuff that they have given to corporations and said, yeah, corporations are people. They've given them personal rights. So now the government no longer has the right to intervene in any kind of profit-making operation that any one of these corporations makes. So where's your vote? Where'd your vote go? Where'd your member of parliament go?
Yeah.
Where'd your elected representatives go? Why are they staying stum on all of this? Why can't you get an answer out of them? Why won't they answer these questions?
Yeah, it's so amazing. I'm on the mailing list from the people who promote the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth.
Uh-huh.
And they keep having this mailing wanting people to go out and boycott, I think it's Paul Dewar. Are you familiar with that name?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's like, don't you people realize that the complicity of our government is so much deeper than thinking that they can go out and petition this one lone MP expecting him to bring it before Parliament? Like, the whole system is corrupted.
Yeah, what's the point? There is no point to doing that.
No, it's useless.
Under international law of contract, they no longer can respond to us. They can't.
Well,
blaming the wrong people, but what these elite do, you've seen it time and time and time again. Something goes wrong, and they go, oh my, we've been discovered, what do we do? And the next thing they do is they hang somebody.
Yeah.
And then once that body gets hung, everybody's supposed to say, oh, well, they got the guy who was doing the wrong. It'll be okay now. Go back to sleep. Everything's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, what a disturbing note you sent out this last week about splitting the sky dying.
I know.
The native elder from Canada, he was the first one who opposed, I think it was Bush or Cheney or Bush coming to Canada.
He actually went and attempted to make a citizen's arrest of George Bush when he visited Calgary. You know, I mean, the guy was awesome. The guy was absolutely awesome, and he was far more of a patriot than anybody knows.
Yeah.
Far more of a patriot. I mean, when you talk about this country is no longer, and it's exactly what Harper promised, he said a few years ago, he said, when I get done with Canada, you won't even recognize the place.
Wow.
Well, you know what? He told the truth, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And
wow,
and
what a time for him to say the truth on.
And it's very, very sad to see splitting the sky die like that. And apparently it seems like he had a head injury or something.
Well, this is the funny part of it now. I mean, if you talk about how are these activists treated by our governments? Well, we know we don't have any whistleblower protection per se in Canada. In splitting the sky, John Boncour Hill was his name. John Boncour did not have any kind of protection. Okay? If he had protection, he'd probably be alive today, because they're saying that first they said, oh, well, he slipped and fell on a path leading to his cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Then they said, oh, well, he was found in his bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
And they said he's 61 years old, he's in good health. Okay, never had a problem before that any of us are aware of. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, he falls down, hits his head, and dies.
Yeah.
Hello? The funny thing about that, there's been a whole lot of people just have these funny accidents. And then look at the fact that Venezuela, a lot of Venezuelan officials are now digging into the death of Hugo Chavez.
Yeah.
Why are
yeah.
they doing that? Well, it's because an inordinate number of leaders in South America all seem to have cancer at the same time. And what are the statistical odds of that happening?
Yeah.
Next to nothing is what they are. So how did that happen? And why would it happen? If it was engineered, why would it happen? Well, these people have been opposing the South American trade agreements. They have been opposing the International Monetary Fund. They have been opposing the World Bank, and they've been opposing takeovers by foreign oil companies.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's, you know, if you want to add it up, who's sick? Well, these are the people who are under attack. Okay,
yeah.
So now they're sick, and guess what? If they are the only opposition in their government, they're gone.
Yeah.
In a matter of time, they're gone. So these people, either they eliminate their foes or they crush them.
And that seems to me what happened to splitting the sky. I know he was the lead speaker at last year's Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference.
Yep.
And it's just really sad, and I'm really disheartened to hear this. And he was one of the Canada's most outspoken natives.
Yeah, well, we'll get more into that later in the program when Kevin Annett joins us, and hopefully Kevin will call in on schedule. Don't know what he's exactly up to today, but I can tell you it's heating up because it's Easter week, and the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, ITCCS, is all over the Catholic churches and the United Churches and Anglican churches in Canada and elsewhere.
Wow.
And they're making, I mean, obviously this is a people's court that they found all these war criminals guilty of war crimes in. It doesn't hold water in terms of you know, anything that we can enforce, but with enough public backing, it can be enforced. And that's what they're pushing for. Apparently, there have been a number of takeovers of Catholic churches around the world. They aren't, of course, official takeovers, but there were people go in who are supporting the ITCCS, and they are reading their warrants and telling people to leave the church. And apparently there's been some action by some congregations. So that'll be interesting in the second half of the show.
Wow, that'll be very interesting.
Yeah. But
I did just want to mention then Canada has lost one of its major native Canadian activists, which was John Boncour, Splitting the Sky, and he died, I guess it was just this last week, wasn't it, Dee? Was it last week or the week before?
A week before.
Yeah, so quite recently, and that's a real loss for Canada.
It's a horrendous loss for Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, people didn't realize just what kind of a loss it was for Canada. Eventually, they'll figure it out. You know,
yeah.
But in the meantime, it's only people who knew what Boncour accomplished. But history will support him. History will support him. Rest in peace, our friend.
Yeah.
You know, but... And
I hope history does support him, because at the moment it looks like the elites have taken over the media and the government, and they've taken over so much. It's like a lot of these unsung heroes
never get sung. Last week I had another little back and forth with our friend Trish Jordan, who is the Monsanto's PR director for Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now this woman says, this is after the U.S. Department of Agriculture came out with a survey that they did showing that Monsanto's promised increased yields to farmers was nothing more than a crock. And
wow.
Then they also found another toxin in the glyphosate chain of pesticide that they're foisting on the world as we speak, and that's a little item called POE-15, and this stuff is toxic at the cellular level to all living things. So now there's more poison that they've identified that damages people, and Monsanto does not care.
No, they don't.
And so when I sent that around, I sent a copy to Trish, and I said, I'm sending this to Trish Jordan. This is her. This is who she is. Here's her email. Say hello to her just to let her know that we haven't forgotten who she is. So, you know, she writes back and says, all is good in our world. And I wrote her back and said, it's not your world yet. Nowhere close.
Yeah.
Nowhere close.
Yeah.
So, and they're basically, they're thumbing their nose at everybody. And the reason why they can do this is because of these agreements. They could not do it otherwise. They have major control. But they're going to have some problem. They're putting pressure on the states right now. And, of course, Obama is Monsanto's main man in Washington. He's appointed so many people to be part of the Monsanto chain. If you referred to that piece I sent out earlier this week, and it was a John Rappaport piece, and he went through like 15 or 20 different names of people coming out of the Monsanto chain of command and being transferred into agencies of the U.S. government. Well, if you think for a hot second we don't have that going on in Canada, you better think twice.
It's just so hard for me to believe that our public officials are just so naive or I'm not sure what
they're
one
not
would call
naive.
It.
No, they're not naive, Christopher. What's happened is that these trade agreements have been signed at the international level, okay? And because they've been signed at the international level, they are enforceable over and above our laws. So whatever your understanding is of Canadian law and how it's supposed to work, you can basically toss that in the dumpster, because now it's our laws and the international contract in a combination. And wherever our laws interfere with the agreement, our laws are overrun. So people were wondering, well, how is it that Percy Schmeiser, who is growing canola, gets his canola field contaminated by GMO organisms by Monsanto, and they come after him for, you know, using their seed without permission? Well, excuse me, the bees and the wind did that, not Percy Schmeiser. So how is it that Percy lost in court?
He did lose in court.
Yeah, he did lose.
Yeah.
And so how is it that he lost? Well, come to find out, under the trade regulations, patents held by anybody have to be honored above all. And guess who's got a patent?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. Percy Schmeiser wasn't up against Monsanto. He was up against their patent. And because he was up against their patent, he didn't have a hope in hell of winning. None of us do, because it's above us now. They've taken all of that out of the hands of the consumer and the citizen and the voter. They've taken it all out of our hands. And you can officially now say we do not live in a democracy at all, period.
Yeah.
End of story. No. We do not live in a democracy anymore, if
yeah.
we ever had one. And, you know, I'm not so fond of democracy as a system. That's not that I'm saying I'm in favor of anything else, mind. But I'm saying I'm not in favor of democracy as a system because it depends on and is never fulfilled as the outcome of 100% of the population knowing 100% of the information that they require in order to make a choice on what they want democratically.
And the media is so complicit, like the media lies about everything.
Media is owned.
Yes,
the media
exactly.
is owned.
Exactly.
I mean, you look at the Canadian media setup, and you're looking at six pairs of hands control all media in Canada, except for the alternative stuff like we're doing right now. They don't control us, but they could very easily, and they're leaning towards doing that any way they can. This is why they want to restrict the web.
Yeah, Mr. Rockefeller, I think, is part of that.
Oh, yeah, and they're blacklisting websites like VacTruth. I got a notice from VacTruth today, and they're a website that has to do with telling the truth about vaccinations. Okay, I find out today they're blacklisted at Web of Trust. And I don't know who these Web of Trust people are, okay? But somebody needs to scrutinize them because I don't trust Web of Trust. I don't trust that they're not co-opted by somebody else to say these are bad websites to keep people from getting at the truth. Now, if Web of Trust is functioning as a censorship body, then Web of Trust needs to be kicked off the Internet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got
it's so criminal. Like, what can we as Canadian or American people do in order to combat this kind of the justification of international law above domestic law?
Well,
like these companies are obviously after our demise. They're obviously doing things which have grave implications for the health and well-being of Canadian American citizens.
No question.
So could they not be tried in court? Like, in a way, if we could show that these trade agreements were made complicit.
They're not legal. Here's the thing. Let's say there's an election on tomorrow, okay? Anywhere in the world, doesn't matter where, okay? There's an election on tomorrow, and you have a candidate on stage at a town hall meeting saying, vote for me tomorrow, because when I become your MP, or I become your prime minister or your president or whatever, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is sign all kinds of agreements and give away all your sovereignty so that we're ruled by corporations. Do you think such a person would stand a hope in hell of getting elected anywhere in the world?
No, he'd be shunned everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
but
the bottom
they lie
line,
about it all.
Yeah, so that gives you a real clue right there, doesn't it? that, you know, anytime government wants you not to know something, there's something really, really bad behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Something really, really bad. And people are so, they're starting now to be so awake and so aware. You know, the people who started out with a little bit of an inkling of what was going on, these people right now, there's nothing you can put by them without them spotting it. And people now, they're going to get hit. This is something we've got to talk about. People are now going to start to get very much afraid of what's going to happen to all of their bank accounts.
Yes, you were beginning to mention the Cyprus affair. Maybe you could go into that a bit and explain
Cyprus.
Some of that.
Oh, Cyprus. This is something else. This is really something else. Because right here, what you're talking about is a little known fact. People don't realize this stuff. You know, they go and they put their money in the bank, and they think, oh, well, the FDIC and the CDC are protecting our accounts. They can't fall down, blah, 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 blah. Well, I hope they're up for a haircut because they're about to get one. It's called bail-in, okay? This is a methodology by which the banks use the little-known fact that when you go and deposit your money in a bank, they're not just holding it for you. They're not just keeping it safe for you. Basically what you're doing is you're loaning them your money. You are loaning the bank the use of your money.
Yeah.
In exchange for which they pay you a pittance in interest.
Yeah.
Okay? But that means that they own your money because you loaned it to them. Okay? They own your money.
Yeah.
And now, because what's been happening is these banks that are considered too big to fail, now in Canada that would be the major banks. You're talking TD, CIBC, Scotia, Bank of Montreal, Royal, okay? Those are like the major banks.
Yeah.
And there's probably 8 in total banks in Canada that would be considered systemically important. Now, on page 154 and 155 of the budget proposal that Jim Flaherty has now put before Parliament, it basically talks about using the bail-in technique. Now, the bail-in technique is the banks have been bailed out by taxpayer dollars in the past, as we saw with Obama doing that massive bailout in 2008, and ever since then they've been bailing things out without telling us. There was a big bank bailout in Canada, but our government never even told anybody they bailed out the banks.
Yeah, I think it was in a one sentence line in the Ottawa Citizen. They mentioned Canada gave $70 billion to the banks.
Exactly.
In Canada, yeah.
Exactly, but they didn't tell anybody at the time. It was after the fact. It was a fait accompli. The banks already had their $70 billion.
Yeah.
Before anybody in Canada had a say in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's after the fact. Fait accompli, nothing to be done about it. Now don't lock the barn. Now the horse has been stolen already.
Yeah.
So here we are in another situation. They're saying that, you know, that was taking taxpayer dollars from across the board. So now in their infinite stupidity, they are trying to sell the idea that it is a nicer thing to take money from the people who are affected by this bank, okay, namely the depositors. So what they're going to do is if you've got a failing bank in Canada, they're going to give the depositors a haircut in order to stabilize the bank. And what they are proposing is that they will exchange stock in the bank. Now, this kind of goes beyond the bill, but I'll explain that later on through Ellen Brown of Web of Debt. And she's like major, major commenter on debt and how it works. But at any rate, what they're going to do is they're going to say they take 40% of your bank account. Okay, well, they'll give you an equivalent value in bank stock. Okay, now bear in mind, they're giving you stock in an institution that is so badly off that it has to steal from its own stockholders, from its own depositors. So why in the hell would anybody want stock in such a company? Why would you? You know, it's basically, it's a blue chip headed for the rocks, is what it is. So much for blue chip.
You see this coming in Canada, you're saying.
Well, now let me just show you something here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ellen Brown, like I said, she's pretty major. She is, I think there's a little bit of a bio on her at the bottom. Ellen Brown, she's an attorney, chairman of the Public Banking Institute, and the author of 11 books, including Web of Debt, The Shocking Truth About Our Money System, and How We Can Break Free. Her websites are webofdebt.com and ellenbrown.com. Okay. Now, Public Banking Institute conference is on this website. It's at namastepublishing.co.uk. Namaste is spelled N-A-M-A-S-T-E, publishing.co.uk. And the article is posted by the editorial staff, who are very much on the mark. This is a major magazine in the UK. And I'm reading to you from this article, okay? Although few depositors realize that legally the bank owns the depositors' funds as soon as they are put in the bank, our money becomes the bank's, and we become unsecured creditors holding IOUs or promises to pay. But until now, the bank has been obligated to pay the money back on demand in the form of cash. Under the FDIC BOE, which is Bank of England, plan, our IOUs will be converted into bank equity. The bank will get the money, and we will get stock in the bank. Okay, now our IOU, that's your bank account. That's your savings account, your checking account, whatever.
Yeah.
Even your safe deposit box. Even that. Okay?
Well.
It says the bank will get the money. We will get stock in the bank. With any luck, we may be able to sell the stock to someone else, but when and at what price? Most people keep a deposit account so they can have ready cash to pay the bills. 15-page FDIC BOE document is called Resolving Globally Active Systemically Important Financial Institutions. That phrase is important because you will see it in the Canadian budget on page 154 and 155, Systemically Important Financial Institutions. Now, this document is from 2009. It begins by explaining that the 2008 banking crisis has made it clear that some other way besides taxpayer bailouts is needed to maintain financial stability, evidently anticipating that the next financial collapse will be on a grander scale than either the taxpayers or Congress is willing to underwrite. Okay, now what's going to happen is they're going to... There's no exception, okay? Insured deposits in the States means those under $250,000, the deposits we thought were protected by FDIC insurance and CDC insurance. Let's not leave Canada out of this. They've already got it in the budget. You can consider that Canada is an equal partner in this, okay? Now, point they make, that Ellen Brown makes, this can hardly be an oversight since it is the FDIC that is issuing the directive. In other words, this is not a mistake. This is a plan, and the plan came out of 2009. So now that brings us to the 2010 G20.
Out of the 2009 G20?
G20 held in England.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I think that was the one where Harper was late for the photo op, remember? They had to do the photo op because he didn't show up on time, idiot. At any rate, what kind of a cretin do we have in our PMO? My God.
I know.
But, I mean, at any rate, it brings us to the 2010 G20, which was held in Toronto. And we all remember what a glorious day that was. Riots and more people arrested than ever before in the history of Canada.
Yeah.
All kettled together at the corner of Spadina and Queen, even though all they were doing was standing around peacefully demonstrating, and even though they had the right to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And we had people in wheelchairs beaten up. We had people with artificial legs and their legs were ripped off. We had girls with broken arms. We had, you know, people starving, being given in 36 hours one lousy cheese sandwich and a glass of Tang. Hello, you know, this is, it was horrible. And then at the end of it, Harper comes out and he says this. He said, and he was referring to, because somebody in the press had asked him about signing the Basel III agreement, which he had just done. This is a Basel, Switzerland agreement on bank regulations. And bear in mind, in 2009, Harper went across the country and around the world bragging that it was Canada's bank regulations that saved us from the worst of the recession, which was really a big depression, but they didn't want to call it that.
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2010, he signs the Basel III agreement. He gives away our bank regulations that just saved us, according to him.
He gives
them away by signing the Basel III agreement with all these other countries. Okay, and guess what? In 2010, when he did that, he comes out to the press conference. Some reporter asked him, well, what about our bank regulations? And he says, and I quote, well, I know some people don't like it, and it is a loss of sovereignty, but it's a simple fact of life. And if you don't believe me, Google it on YouTube. You will find it. It's still posted there. Still posted there, him saying it in front of a press conference. Okay, now we find out what this agreement really means. Because in 2009, a year earlier, the G20 was all agreeing to do bail-ins. And now finally, here we are in 2013. You see how they play the game? They bring these bits of legislation and these new rules and new laws. They bring them out only when they need them. And it's all coordinated. You think Cyprus was an accident? You think Portugal isn't on that agenda? You think that South American countries aren't on that agenda? Do you think that Spain is going to escape, or Britain, or the UK, or the United States, or us? Why would we be separate from all of that when they want a complete takeover? And what is going to happen when Canadians find out that their own bank accounts are getting a haircut? Well, that's cutting a little bit too close to home.
Yeah.
When they cut it that close to home, that's when you start getting rumbles. And that's when people start waking up, is when their toes get stepped on. They don't wake up because somebody else's toes are stepped on. They wake up when their toes are stepped on.
Yeah.
And now their toes are about to get stepped on, and stepped on in a way they could not imagine.
Yeah.
Because this is outright theft. There's no question. This is outright theft of people's hard-earned money. And this is, I mean, we're not talking about the super rich here. We're talking across the board. You know, they're making it sound like, oh, it's only the rich people. They're getting their accounts hit. No, it is not just the rich people.
You think
no, it isn't.
Be across the board that everyone would lose a certain percentage?
Everyone's going to lose something.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to lose something. Now, obviously, they're going to have to, you know, make it look as benign as possible by, you know, keeping the lower income people as protected as possible. But you see, if they put an upper limit on it, like 100,000 euros, name me a Greek who's got 100,000 euros.
Name me a Canadian.
I mean, unless their last name, is Onassis or something like that, you know, they don't have that kind of money. Most Greeks are pretty much, it's a peasant population, like in Italy, like in Europe. People aren't making mega bucks. We only see the richest parts of these countries, they're the ones that are promoted to us, right?
Yeah.
But we don't see how the poor people live, nor are we supposed to see how the poor people live.
No.
And this is where they are going to, they're going to be giving us all a lovely haircut. So, I mean, I know people who are going down on Tuesday to remove their all of their money from the bank and put it in a credit union.
Oh, yeah, you can do that, can you?
Well, yeah, you can. You can put your money
still,
wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You know, I sent around a cartoon the other day sent to me by a friend. It said the new Cypriot ATM, and it showed a mattress with a bunch of cash under it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know, but I mean, this is, oh my God. I mean, I'm looking at this article, and the banks are now using their depositories to fund derivatives exposures. In other words, all these rich guys who are investing on in derivatives, they're being saved at our expense.
Yeah.
And if you remember the Lehman Brothers collapse, when their investments failed, unsecured creditors all got 8 cents on the dollar.
Wow.
That's what they got from Lehman Brothers. And Lehman Brothers, by the way, controlled all of the financing for the prison system in the United States, which has more people in jail than any other country in the world.
Yeah.
Percentage-wise of their population. They have more percentage of their population in jail than even China.
Yeah. Yeah, good for corporate management or corporate, working for corporations out of
exactly.
the jail.
Exactly. Not only that, but they're now changing laws in terms of incarceration so that they can force labor. They've now got prison chain gangs coming back.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
And what most notably in that bunch is Sheriff Joe Arpaio down in Arizona, who people were hailing as the guy who, you know, he's tough on crime, yada, yada, yada. But he has, in 130-degree heat in Arizona, he has prisoners sleeping in tents outside, and they have literally, he canceled coffee because he decided that wasn't good for them. So none of them can have coffee. They can't have this. They can't have that. Like you were talking, the most basic of human comforts.
Yeah.
And they're on chain gangs. They wear leg chains and orange suits, and they go out on the highways and dig roads and stuff. Well,
wow.
I thought that went out with the, you know, went out with the Depression. But here it is. And as we know, the vast majority of people in the States who are incarcerated are not there for nasty crimes. They're there for minimal crimes.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, they're victimless crimes like drug possession and pot possession, that kind of thing. You're not talking about victims here. You're not talking about nasty people. You're just talking about people who are going about their life, and I guess the government just didn't know like how they were doing it. So there you go. Now you're in jail. You know? I mean, I'm flabbergasted here. I'm flabbergasted.
By the way,
Bank of America, just to give you an example, they are protecting, they're trying to protect derivatives, okay? And the deposits are now being subject to being wiped out by a major derivatives loss. And this is from Bloomberg, okay? Bank of America's holding company held almost $75 trillion worth of derivatives at the end of June, as the last year. That compares with J.P. Morgan's deposit-taking entity, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, N.A., which contained 99% of the New York-based firm's $79 trillion of national derivatives. $75 trillion and $79 trillion in derivatives. That means Bank of America and J.P. Morgan hold more in notional derivatives than the entire global GDP. Global GDP, which is $70 trillion. Okay? The notional value of derivatives is not the same as cash at risk, but according to a cross post, at least by at least one estimate in 2010, there was a total of $12 trillion in cash tied up in derivatives. $12 trillion is close to the U.S. GDP.
Wow.
Okay? Then Smith goes on and says, remember the effect of the 2005 bankruptcy law revisions. Derivatives counterparties are first in line. They get to grab assets first and leave everyone else to scramble for crumbs. Lehman failed over a weekend after J.P. Morgan grabbed collateral. But it's even worse than that. During the savings and loan crisis, the FDIC did not have enough in deposit insurance receipts to pay for the Resolution Trust Corporation wind-down vehicle. It had to get more funding from Congress. This move paves the way for another TARP-style shakedown of taxpayers, this time to save depositors. So it's all coming out of our pocket. All of it is coming out of our pocket. And it's going into pockets that are already full.
Yeah, so full that the greedy, unbelievably greedy people at the head of these banksters and corporations, it's unbelievable. It's like we should all follow the rule, the law of Iceland, and imprison the bankers, charge them for all
put them
the
in
crime.
Jail.
Say again?
Put them in jail, all of them.
Put them in jail.
Put the governors that did this to us in jail.
Yeah.
They belong in jail. They are stealing what we worked for. They are stealing everything that we are.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just getting bloody ridiculous across the board. And I, for one, am quite sick of it. I've been saying for a long time that when people's toes individually and personally start to get stepped on, that's when you're going to see the population wake up to the level it needs to be wakened up in order to stop any of this. Because the bottom line of all of this is, and I said it and I'll say it again and say it again until I'm blue in the face, it's our fault, people. It is our fault. Don't go looking for a head to hang. Don't go looking for somebody to blame. Look no farther than your bathroom mirror, because it's our complacency and our permission and our apathy that has allowed any of this to happen. Because we outnumber them and we're stronger than them and we have just the brains that they have, and we have allowed this theft to continue because, oh, well, hey, that's just the way it is. No, it isn't the way it is. It isn't the way it has to be. It's just the way we've allowed it to be.
But it's also that people are so mind manipulated by the media that you hear all these bills that they bring out.
Yeah, but wait, whoa. You know what? I keep hearing that excuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? But as far as I'm concerned, it's an excuse. Why do I say that? Well, because all this stuff started a long time before the media was even a big factor. It started back 1913. We already know what the banks had in mind. They took over making our currency in 1913. How big was the media back then? It wasn't. We didn't have cable TV. We didn't have cable. Many people didn't have radio.
Okay. Yeah, so it was more selected. It's more selection by them of what places put out that reports of what
exactly happened. So, I mean, we're looking at withheld information right from the get-go, and now they manipulate words so that they can come out and say, well, we told you, but they told you in such a way that it was, you know, full of baffle gab. Just baffle gab. They'll spin your head around in circles, and that's what they had back then, was baffle gab. Now they got a whole media to back themselves up with.
Yeah.
But then, of course, back then, because of the people that were cut off from mainstream media, didn't have the ability to communicate, those people were just kept in the dark.
Yeah, and now the Internet's made such a big difference.
Well, yeah, now, and of course, why are they now trying to shut down the Internet? But you see, what I worry about, and I'm not sure how other people view it, but this is me talking. I mean, I have an opinion, everybody knows. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking at a situation where they're putting this stuff out, they're doing this stuff now because they want it to crack. They want it to crack. And if you want people to get all upset, start stealing from them right in front of their face. That's what you do. You start stealing from them right in front of their face. Hold them up. Put a gun up their left nostril and say, "We're taking your money now."
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Now they're doing that all at once in a planned manner. This article from Namaste Today, again, that website, namastepublishing.co.uk, okay? And this article is entitled The Agenda. The web listing is The Agenda, the Confiscation Scheme Plan for USA and UK Depositors. That's on the Web Bureau. The title of the actual article is The Agenda, the Confiscation Scheme Plan for USA and UK Depositors. You can read Canada into that, but go to that site and read that article, because you have to realize this is not accidental. This is not something that just popped up over the last year or so. They actually sat and actively planned this.
Yeah.
They planned it. This is no joke, right? This is not our government struggling to save us.
No.
You know, and if you see Flaherty standing in Parliament saying, well, this is the best route for Canadians, we want to protect Canadians. No, you want to loot Canadians' pockets is what you want to do. And that's, in fact, what you are doing, is looting Canadians' pockets. And you're putting in place a legal way for you to do that, and you don't have the mandate for it. You never had the mandate. You're never going to get the mandate.
And do you think he'll face much opposition in any of the House of Parliament?
Not on that score, he won't.
No, he won't, eh? No.
And the reason for that is because, again, bank agreement, Basel, okay? We have not a leg to stand on here. They gave it away. So the ones we've got to go after and put in jail, and we've got to abrogate all those agreements, the ones we got to put in jail are the stupid bastards who signed for it. And that would include our Canadian government.
Yeah.
All of them. Every last one of them. And I include Miss Elizabeth May in that list. And the reason I include Elizabeth May is because even though she'll bitch and moan about Harper on an unending basis, neither will she talk about this loss of sovereignty. She won't either. How do I know that? Well, because I've challenged her many times. I can't even get an answer out of her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easiest for them to remain quiet.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is all our RCMP and other police forces are all complicit in this whole thing.
They have to be. Who do they work
anything.
For?
Say again.
You know, who do they work for? They have to be complicit, because who do they work for?
Yeah. Well, the government, but I mean, there used to be some notion of individual justice. And yeah, that's my old school. You know.
Yeah, well, these are words they used to use to, you know, as a soporific, to put us to sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And, of course, it worked because, you know, at the same time as they're telling us, it's okay, we're here to help you, ha, 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 and telling us to go back to sleep. And they've been doing that for a long time. Don't worry, we're in charge now. We'll take care of you. And that's the promise that they give you. It's like, you know, people don't realize an election isn't an election. It's a corporation hiring staff.
Oh, yeah, an election is, yeah.
That's what it is, the corporation
yeah.
hiring staff. And we forget we're the ones who do the hiring. Should we not also then be making the rules? Can you name me a corporation where the stockholders elect somebody, then these people the stockholders have elected go and do the exact opposite to what the electors need and want, Have you ever heard of a corporation that didn't get rid of its CEO permanently? In fact, they'd get rid of the whole board, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And wouldn't they have the power to do that?
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, and don't we then? Yeah, we do. So why aren't we? Well, it's because we don't know. You know, if you don't know about it, if they can successfully hide the information, guess what?
Mm-hmm. And that's what they do with everything.
That's what
they hide
do.
The information
yeah.
from people so much.
Yeah,
because like,
nobody can act on it.
Yeah.
Nobody can act on it if they don't know about it. You
yeah.
cannot fix what you cannot acknowledge.
Yeah.
That's a Dr. Phil line.
Oh, yeah, is it?
You can't fix what you can't acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't acknowledge what isn't given out there for people to see. Well, it's given out there all the time, but you have to look for it. And the reason they put it out there at all, I mean, you would think that if they were smart criminals, they'd leave no trace of what they were doing, right? But
yeah.
the reason why they put it out there is they know damn well that the only people that are going to find it have already been demonized as conspiracy theorists. Okay, so, you know, oh, well, I'm not listening to her because she's a conspiracy theorist. Everything she talks about is just crap. It's just crap. It's not true. It couldn't be true, could it? Well, yeah,
yeah.
it could. Yeah, it could.
Yeah, it could, and it is, and yeah, that's an unfortunate label they have to put on those of us who become aware of their conspiracies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very
well,
dangerous.
They did it for a reason.
Yeah.
They don't want other people listening to us, and if we're credible, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
As long as we remain not credible, they're not in trouble. Now, unfortunately, when some of the things we say come true and then actually slap a taxpayer upside the head, you know, that taxpayer is going to wake up whether they want them to or not. So are they going to risk a collapse like that that's uncontrolled? Hell no. They'll take it down like they took down the World Trade Center. Controlled demolition. This
yeah.
is a controlled demolition of the world's banking system. And the reason they're doing it is because it has become untenable. They finally priced themselves out of the market. And so what they have to do is they have to alter the system so they can start up again and start the chain of profit running to them again on a new basis. They don't care how the profit comes to them. They only care that it comes to them. So if they have to alter the whole ding-blasted system, that's what they will do. No worry there. No worry there. They're in charge. So they sit and they watch the show. This is like watching A Wonderful Life. Right? Remember when Mr. Potter devalued and paid everybody 50 cents on the dollar?
Oh.
And that's how the Depression started. With people getting paid 50 cents on the dollar. And how did he destroy George, the good guy? Well, George, who ran the bank, the bank where, and Potter stole the deposits from drunk Uncle Billy. But the way that he ruined George and his family bank. Excellent. The way that they ruined that bank was basically to have a run on the bank. So, you know, watching A Wonderful Life for, you know, it's not Christmas, I know, but you can watch It's a Wonderful Life, and you'll get an idea what these banks are doing.
Well, terrible.
So now,
terrible.
So now, we're in this wicked situation where all hell is about to break loose. And, of course, the diversionary tactics are well underway. Flaherty is going to be diverting attention from all of those facts, and it's up to us to spread the word, us and anybody else who hears it and has the cojones to dig in and find out what the truth is and share it with people.
Yeah.
And I know what it's going to do is it is going to cause a run on the bank. It is going to do that. There's no question. I mean, quite frankly, I'm thinking, where the hell am I going to put what little money I've got? You know,
yeah, yeah.
What am I going to do with it? But so My Lord, craziness. Craziness everywhere.
Yeah, it really is.
But we've just been notified that our guest for the second part of the show has arrived and joined us. And we now have the Reverend, Irreverend, Kevin Annett is with us again. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, Dee. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem, dear. It's, you know, your efforts now are coming to a very, very, very big head, are they not? Now, just to fill people in, Kevin Annett is the, your title is now Field Secretary, is it not?
That's right, yeah.
Of the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, the ITCCS, itccs.org, also hiddenfromhistory.org. We're talking about the crimes of church and state in terms of residential school murders, genocide in our Aboriginal community, and in fact, in church-run operations around the world. There are now several countries that have signed on to this. And we've now had the tribunal held over in Belgium, and interestingly enough, gee, a whole bunch of people got found guilty, didn't they?
That's right. And as a matter of fact, on the basis of that guilty verdict, one of the European governments actually issued an arrest warrant 6 days before Ratzinger resigned. So there's a direct correlation now between everything going on in Rome, really, and this work. And we're just really happy about the way things are changing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you didn't catch the original, like the first hour of the show, but we were talking about the massive scam on the banks and taking deposits in Cyprus, and how this has been planned and is universal. It's not just for Cyprus. We're involved too. It's in our budget, and they're taking all our money. And of course, we know the Vatican is also a bank, isn't it?
And well, not only the Vatican Bank, but actually every church in Canada, including the United Church, if you looked at their the legislation setting them up, they all have the powers of banks.
Oh, my Lord.
Interesting.
So, look up
the United Church of Canada Act on a Google search.
So it gets kind of interesting when you realize that all of the strings are being pulled at once. And what is further interesting to me is the fact that there's so many exposures happening right now. Like, what are the odds that all of this stuff about the Vatican banking and all that kind of stuff would start coming out right when the ITCCS was involved? What are the odds?
Well, you know, we don't want to claim... Yeah, I mean, we don't want to claim total credit here, but, I mean, definitely it was one of the nails in their coffin. Because the power of this is the fact that not only with Elizabeth Windsor and Joseph Ratzinger, but now Jorge Bergoglio, the new pope, all of them are personally implicated in crimes against humanity, you know, either abducting children, protecting people who are, or in the case of the present pope, being an advisor to the military junta in Argentina and actually letting his own priests get tortured and killed. So, I mean, you know, these guys are all personally implicated, and that's why they're hiding out and evading the arrest warrants that have been issued.
Well, it's starting to get really, really interesting because people are starting to recognize, hey, they actually did commit crimes. Holy smokes. And here's some evidence. And, of course, you know, things get covered up, and squelched and misstated and then regurgitated by phony little agencies like the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which is, of course, a joke and a half.
Don't get me started on them.
Oh, but I want to.
Oh, well, absolutely. I was being facetious.
Good.
No, they're, you know, they're the Warren Commission of Canada. You know, apparently, like Harper's comment a few weeks ago, that only 3,000 children died over a century, about a 2% death rate, when their own records say it was 40 to 60%. So how does he pull that off? All the media were just repeating that uncritically.
Well, you know that anything that spills out of Harper's mouth is the truth by law, right?
Well, he's a wanted criminal now. He was found guilty in the common law verdict on February 25th of
And I found it interesting that one of the guys on your list of wanted criminals is Sean Attleo.
oh, well, he's deeply involved. I mean, the whole Assembly of First Nations is an arm of the government, and they've been, you know, it's the Native government Native chiefs who've been the main ones covering up these mass grave sites, making sure that they aren't excavated, silencing their own witnesses who saw children being killed. You know, the Native chiefs are the ones doing that. They're the front men for the government. That's something a lot of white activists don't understand.
Yeah, no, what they further don't understand is why they would do that.
Well, they're in many cases, they're implicated as kids. They were part of the what they call out on the West Coast, the enforcers, the ones who would help discipline the other students. They were put in a protected group. They were given better food, education. I mean, they're often the big muckamucks in the local tribal council. And this is the standard divide-and-conquer tactics they've used. And, you know, also the fact that they're paid directly to do it. I've had former members of the Assembly of First Nations come to me. One of them, Wilf Price, was on my radio show in Vancouver, and he described, you know, when you go to an AFN convention, you're given an unlimited credit card by the government. You're given kids, you're given hookers, you're given drugs, you're given anything you want, the 633 chiefs. You know, it's a complete joke and a travesty, so that's why we had to name the AFN as well.
Wow. Unbelievable. And, of course, at the same time as this kind of stuff is going on, we lost, as we pointed out at the beginning of the show, we lost John Boncour. And, you know...
Not coincidental right now.
Well, you know what? I don't think the death of anyone who's involved in exposing the government can be considered coincidental. I'm sorry, but, you know, that's just the way I see it, is there seems to be a reason why these people are all dying. Like, why is it all of a sudden that all the major leaders in South America all seem to have cancer at once? How's that possible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it's pretty, a lot of people just realize that now, but especially Native people are vulnerable. I mean, you know, the Bingo and William and Ricky and our network in Vancouver, they're all killed by the police or lethal injection in the hospital over the last 2 years.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I mean, I can recall seeing you with bruises all over you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and this
happens.
3 weeks after the event, and you were still bruised up, so... I know that was a severe beating that you took, right? Now, you know, we're looking at a situation where you start telling the truth. It's considered to be a revolutionary act, and you get in trouble for it. Well, you know, if that's the case, if it is the case that telling the truth is a revolutionary act, then this world is in serious harm.
Well, you know... In terms of the work we're doing, like, it isn't just telling the truth. We're calling it a big reclamation. I mean, we're saying that institutions that committed these crimes have lost the right to operate. They have no authority. And so we're starting the whole process now in 13 countries where people are going into churches and reclaiming them. The property and wealth of these churches is forfeited as reparations for the harm they did to these children. You know, that's already begun.
Now, I was hearing that there are a couple of churches that have actually been, like, there's been people arrested. Like, do you have details on that kind of thing?
Yeah.
There were actual support from official sources on this?
Yeah, I'll give you one example. It's interesting. Even the Catholic hierarchy, they're beginning to fall apart. There was a Catholic bishop. Now, this is an Orthodox Catholic church. They're kind of traditionalists. But a bishop in Albany, New York, on Palm Sunday, went into the church, tried to deliver our common law court order, and talked to the people about how the Pope is a criminal, a convicted criminal now, and he has no more authority within the church. They called the cops on him. He was arrested. They're serving him. They served him court papers already, and he's to appear in court because he was told by the cops, it's a crime to put leaflets on the windshields of church people going to church all of a sudden. So, I mean, you know, come on, people. Like, it's just the people. You know, the mask has slipped here, and the people in power are out and out criminals. So, I mean, any sense of obligation to pay taxes, to vote for these people, to listen to them when they give you a command, that's out the window now. We're on our own. And,
you guys don't have the right to tell us what to do. Exactly.
No.
But, you know, I mean, we do know that despite the fact that all of this evidence has been compiled and adjudged and adjudicated by people literally from around the world. Your tribunal consisted of a jury from people all over the place with all kinds of backgrounds, and every one of them came out and said, yep, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty on all of these people. And yet, in terms of legal weight, the only thing that's going to press this forward is people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the enforcement is the issue now. And, you know, and in terms of the legal applicability, you know, people are so brainwashed to think, well, unless, you know, the Crown and Admiralty Court and canon law jurisdictions rule on this, it's not legitimate. I mean, that's how we've all been brainwashed to think. You know, and that's not true, as we all know.
Well, the people determine it. I mean, the courts have proven themselves to be corrupt in many, many ways. And, of course, now what they're doing is they're actually abiding by trade agreement law, international trade law, and they're still not telling people why they're doing that. I mean, when they sign these agreements, they sign our sovereignty away. And I find it also interesting. I'm thinking that there is also a connection there between the issues that Aboriginal people are fighting in current times. I mean, we know that the residential school horror is pretty much over, but what they do in addition to that is not over. And child trafficking and things that goes on today.
Yeah.
So I mean,
well, you know, the residential school stuff isn't over at all either. I mean, it's carried on intergenerationally. You know, when there's tens of thousands of children that disappeared, that's a crime scene. The whole country is one big crime scene, and yet they're pretending like these mass graves don't exist.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, though, is that, you know, we as a society, we say, oh, well, there are no more residential schools, therefore that's historical. But history be damned, the thing is there is no statute of limitations on murder.
No.
There never has been a statute
of
limitations on murder. But, I mean, we're all facing something in terms of our sovereignty and our loss of it. And what I'm thinking, and maybe you've got some thoughts on this, I'm thinking that since Canada is one of the fewer, like, it's not a great number of nations that have indigenous populations to a level where they really, really need special dealing. Like, not everybody has reservations, and not Australia does. The United States does, but who else does? So what are they doing with these trade agreements? Well, I mean, the next thing they're going to be doing is they're going to be getting rid of the reserve system. And they may use the information that you're exposing through the ITCCS as part of the reason why the reserve system ought to be dumped. But at the same time, they're doing that if they make natives into full citizens and natives go, yeah, yippee, guess what? You now no longer have a reserve. Now
well, you know, when you read the Indian Act, it says all land is vested in the Crown, but the Crown is a fiction, especially now when, you know, in the Criminal Code of Canada, it says the Crown can be tried in Canada for tort offenses. I mean, even in the so-called legal system, they acknowledge that, you know, the Queen does a crime, she can be tried as a human being.
Yeah.
Well, she abducted 10 kids from the Kamloops Residential School October 10th, 1964. There was a witness, and there's even a reference to her being in Canada at that time in the government records. So, I mean, you know, she has never answered the charge. She's never responded with counter-evidence or even saying, no, it's not true. I mean, that's an admission of guilt under the law.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, when the head of state is accused and found guilty in a common law court of a child abduction, no, she has no authority, and all the oaths of allegiance people take the crown are invalid now, people. So that's the point. There is no legal political authority in Canada.
Yeah, well, bottom line is the crown isn't Elizabeth Windsor anyway.
Well, yeah, it overlaps, but you're right. It's City of London, of course, we know that. But
yeah, but, I mean, here you're looking at someone who thinks she's above the law, and Harper thinks he's above the law, and I'm sure Sean Atleo thinks he's protected. But if his own people had more of an idea of what Sean Atleo was about, he wouldn't be protected. He might be one of those who got marched into the woods and never heard from again.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the one of the things we're doing, just for listeners to know, We are approaching this week after Easter. We're issuing letters to all of the police and RCMP across Canada saying we're going to deputize you as common law peace officers to enforce this arrest warrant. And if you're not going to help, then stand back.
Uh-huh.
We'll have our own peace officers. So, you know, they're one of the middle wheels that we're going to look to. I mean, and it just happened the other day. We were at Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Vancouver on Good Friday. Three cops show up, and I just say to them right away, you know, you guys, these are convicted child rapists in here. Stand back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They didn't hang around. They left because they knew we were right. I mean, that's power. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people power is an awesome thing.
Yeah.
People who are aware of what's going on become awesome individuals just by the power of their truth. And
yeah.
The thing that is, I mean, I know you're probably familiar with A Course in Miracles, and this is a book that a lot of people regard as kind of a segue from the Bible, where the Bible talks about the stories of other people. This one talks about you and as an individual and where you stand in the universe, which I think is really cool. And what it says is only the truth is real, and what is real cannot be threatened.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have the truth, and you have a number of people holding the truth. And it's like saying, well, you want to tell people that the sky is green. Well, get your spray can and tell me when you're done, because the sky's blue and it's going to stay that way. As far as I know, you know, I can't see anything changing it.
Well, some silvery gray chemtrails might help.
Well, that's changing the depth of it, but it's not changing the color. It's not changing the color of the sky. In fact,
Kevin, I wondered earlier if at one point you started to say something. I didn't know if you said Harper was being accused.
Oh, Harper's convicted.
Oh, yeah. There was 30 defendants in this. This is the first common law court case we're doing, genocide in Canada. There were 30 people in the defendant box, and they were found guilty. Stephen Harper was one of them. Yep.
Wow.
Okay, Kevin,
now, that includes other people, too, in the government, but including the superintendent
Kevin,
of the RCMP.
Off the top of your head, name us some names. Who got
convicted? Okay, at the top of the list was Joseph Ratzinger, the Pope. The present Pope as well has been named subsequently. Elizabeth Windsor, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. There's a new guy in there now. The heads of the Catholic, Anglican, and United Churches of Canada, like the moderator, Gary Patterson. Anybody, a fiduciary officer of these churches, are all found guilty. Local church officials on Vancouver Island who were involved in covering up the mass grave at Alberni Residential School. Superintendent of the RCMP. The chief executive officer of Weyerhaeuser, a logging company in Seattle, because of their involvement in a conspiracy with the United Church to grab Native land and to force Native people off it, which is classic genocide. You know, so, I mean, the list is 30 people. You can see it at itccs.org. The original November 5th posting has all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a list. And like I said earlier, it's like when you start seeing, you know, William Montour from Six Nations, and you see Sean Atleo, and, you know, the names of the Uncle Tomahawks, as you like to call them.
Well, another guy that everybody should know about is Bishop Bob Bennett of the Anglican Church in London, Ontario. He is directly implicated in suppressing evidence showing that there's, according to Leona Moses, who is a researcher with the Anglican Church, she found a smoking gun document showing, in 1870, an official Crown document saying that they were using the Mohawk Residential School in Brantford as a way to wipe out the Mohawk Nation. And that was countersigned by other chiefs who were getting government money, and the New England Company, which was running the residential school. Now, that's where we began our dig with the Mohawk Authority. With the invitation from the elders, we started the dig at the Mohawk school.
And then that kind of got shut down. What's going on with that one now?
Well, it's on hold because, as you know, after I was on your show where we displayed some of the bones we found.
Yep.
Very interesting thing. I don't know if you know about this, but those bones I sent to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington to a guy called Don Ortner, who was their chief pathologist. He looked at them and he said he's 95% sure they're human, and Then that was in January 2012. April, he dies. He had said to me, he said to me that he was willing to look at more bones. He couldn't tell with a more expensive analysis, like DNA analysis and everything, what was going on. But he said, please send me more. He was dead within 3 months of saying that. And the bones, I asked them to send them back to me, but they sent them to various people in Brantford who turned out to be working with Montour and the government. So they have the bones now. Since
Lovely.
Then, they've threatened all those elders to back off on the dig.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, we'll be coming back. There's 28 similar sites across Canada, but we, you know, need the forensic teams and the resources to go in and do a proper job.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, this is really, really upsetting when you think about it. We're talking about Native people covering up crimes done against Native people. The things people will do for money and power and position, huh?
Yeah. They knew as far back as in the 1980s, you know, there was a directive that came out in 1989, just before Phil Fontaine started talking about residential school, quote, abuse, and that was his term, not torture and murder, but abuse. Right before that, a memo went around to all the Native chiefs saying you will not be engaged in anything to do with residential school children who went missing. It was a clear directive from the government. Nobody will do that. And that happened again in Port Alberni after I lost my job with the United Church. Same thing was told in the New Chelmsford Tribal Council chiefs there. Don't have anything to do with Kevin Annett or you won't get injury, settlement money in the lawsuits from the church.
So in other words, do what we say and you can benefit. Don't do what we say and you get nothing. So, and you're talking about people who don't have anything to start with. You know, so they're an easy target.
The average salary of the AFN chiefs are about a couple of $100,000 each.
Average
income of your Native person in Canada is comparable to the standard of living in Brazil or Thailand. So, you know, go figure.
Yeah, exactly. So how is it these people have... I mean, I can remember late last fall, I went out to the Brantford School. And one of the things that I was already aware of when I went was that you had told me that there were guys patrolling the grounds there to make sure that the right people or the wrong people weren't hanging around. And I was sitting on the front porch of the school talking to a woman by the name of Leanne, who was doing some very beautiful beadwork. And I started talking to her. She's an educated woman, has a couple of degrees. She's, you know, no slouch. No slouch, this girl. And I was talking to her about the things you told me about, which was that these guys who work for William Montour and that kind of crowd were coming around to make sure that nobody arrived at the school site to disrupt their position. And she said, oh, yeah, it's easy to spot them. She says, just look for the big new house going up or the brand new fancy truck.
Yeah.
And then just as we were talking about that, one of them big new fancy trucks comes driving up that long driveway in the front to the keyhole, driving at about 5 clicks. Just, he slowed down once he got to the keyhole and just drove by ever so slowly, examining every face on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that's what he was there for, was checking it out.
Well, you know, people who are listening need to know that all of this stuff is documented on video. People from the Mushhole, now that was the name of the residential school in Brantford, the oldest one in Canada, the Mushhole. People describe this. They've described what they saw at the dig, these bones and buttons we turned up out of the ground, which are from the school uniform. All of that is on our, we're actually putting together all the common law court evidence from this first case onto 4 videos, DVDs, and we're going to have that available to people. But it's going up this week at itccs.org. And we have a television network now, too, called itccs.tv. And all of our videos are posted there if people want to go and look at that.
Excellent. So that's coming together really well.
There's an international blog site, too. We've got all of our stuff translated into 9 languages now. People keep stepping forward, translating. Yeah, so that's also up at, you can see a link there at itccs.org.
Yeah,
to the
and everything is
site.
in your own language for a lot of them anyway. And I understand you're looking for translators.
Well, we've got Italian, French, German, Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, Swedish, Hungarian, and even Cree now from Canada. So, I mean, yeah, anyone who can translate, please write to me, hiddenfromhistory1@gmail.com.
Excellent, because, you know, it's really important that people be able to see and understand and not have to rely on a second language. It's makes a huge difference just in the nuances of words, and these things are so important. You know, I'm looking at this, and it's almost like it's kind of sitting on one of the burners of the stove, and there are, ouch, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing that high-pitched beep. It hurt my
ears.
Yeah,
what was that?
I have no idea. But it's almost like all of these things are coming together. And remember you said earlier, you said divide and conquer technique?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like by having all these major issues coming out all at once, well, what's that doing? It's dividing and conquering, isn't it?
It's raising the fear level for sure. And,
exactly,
and,
because there's just so much going on. People can't address everything all at once. So it's choose your poison and go after it. And what I'm saying is, hang on here.
Yeah.
All of these people, all of the crimes that are going on against all of us in the world have been perpetrated by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people need to realize. I mean, we're talking about the ITCCS and going after the people who controlled all of the residential school horrors and the genocide and everything else. These people who should be hung up by their packages and given broken pop bottles to get loose with. You know, this is really horrendous stuff. But then you add in all the other stuff, and then people have to pick an item, pick a cause, pick what means most to you. So what are they doing? Dividing and conquering.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we go that hits them all? Well, all these people who are being nailed by the ITCCS are the very same people in many cases. The very same people who are doing it again right now. When it comes to heads of state, that's exactly what's going on. So while we focus on this issue or that issue, all these issues ought to be combined as far as I'm concerned. These are all crimes for the same people.
No, I agree. We've got to make those links all the time. And that's the beauty of what we're doing because, you know, we start on one front. I mean, you know, the missing children. I think that, you know, the protection of our children, like the protection of Mother Earth and our liberties, have got to be basic. That's got to be a basis of unity for anybody. But, you know, this stuff, you scratch one area and all of this stuff opens up. And that's what's, you know, I've learned over the years. I mean, I started working with Native people, and this has blossomed into something much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I know that when you started out in Port Alberni, it was more an issue of you were in a state of shock at what you found out upon arriving at your new parish, your new church. It's like, why aren't there any Natives here? Well, guess why? And once you found out, you started
fighting.
The first
Native home I was in, I heard, the very first Native home I was in, heard a story of a murder in the residential school, you know. I thought, well, if I heard that on my first trip and, you know, other people in the church have heard it, how come we've never heard about any of this? I mean, it's the Canadian way, you know. You just, everybody stays quiet and nice and stupid.
Yeah. What a load of horse crap. But, I mean, this is the thing. You started out small, and then the more you uncovered, the more trouble you got in. And, people need to realize that when you started exposing some of this stuff, the church actively went after you. They did not just say, oh, well, we got to get rid of him. He's a big mouth. They campaigned against you. They paid a lawyer to get you divorced.
Yep.
You know, they basically, they went after you. They turned you into more of a martyr than they care to admit. You know, and now that's come out, it doesn't look very good on them, does it?
Yeah, well, it's amazing. Like, whenever we show Unrepentant, that's our film, if people want to watch it, it's at hiddennolonger.com.
Yeah, keep Kleenex handy. I'm warning you.
Yeah, but often when we're showing it, the point at which everyone gasps is when we're describing how the church went to my wife and said, look, we'll help you with your divorce if you leave this guy. We're not going to let him work anywhere in Canada. Okay, well, that's a criminal conspiracy. Now, under the law, you know, and you can see these court precedents everywhere in Canada, it says to destroy a man's life and reputation and good name is like murdering him because he never recovers from it. Well, that's a serious offense. It's not a tort offense. It's a criminal act.
Yeah, it's called criminal defamation. It's called criminal defamation.
The top church officers are doing it.
Yep.
The church officers and the RCMP are doing it, so... I mean, I went to so many lawyers and tried to get them to help me, and they said, well, we can't touch them. They're the church.
Uh-huh.
License to kill,
chickens.
Literally, not just the Catholics.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all of them. It's all one big game, isn't it? You know, we're talking about collection plate, as you advised me a while back. Collection plate on the Catholic Church alone annually, $25 billion.
Plus what people probably don't know about are the financial concordats. They're secret treaties between the Vatican and over 120 countries in the world, including Canada and the United States, where taxpayers' money is funded directly to the Vatican Bank.
Mm-hmm. And in Canada, $70 billion, something like that?
Those are also direct handouts to the churches, plus the tax exemptions.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Canadian taxpayers pay about $15 billion a year because churches don't pay taxes.
Uh-huh.
You know, if people are willing to go along with that, then they deserve anything they get, in my opinion. Like, if they're willing to be sheep to the slaughter. These churches, you know, when I was standing outside the Catholic Church on Good Friday, I looked in all these idiots walking into the church with their kids. I thought, it's a child sacrificial cult. They're taking the children in there to be sacrificed, just like to the god Moloch, the Canaanite fire god, where they threw their oldest child in thousands of years ago. It hasn't changed. Those kids can be raped, and nothing will ever happen to the priest. It's a papal law, and the police help them do that. That's child sacrifice. What else is it?
Yeah, well, I don't know what else you can call it. You're handing your child over.
I mean, these churches are going to be shut down.
Well, you're handing your child over to an organization and saying, here, do what you want with them.
Yeah.
What?
People can look it up. It's the Crimen Solicitanus is the law. It's in our HiddenNoLonger.com book, Appendix 9. We've reprinted the whole law there. It's been in effect since 1922. You know, it's the law in the Catholic Church.
And wasn't it just revived by Joe Rat?
Ratzinger.
Yeah.
In 1962, he was the priest who helped revise it to expand its power. So it wasn't applied just to priests, but all the church orders, like the Dominicans and the Jesuits and the Franciscans, they all had to do that too. It says when the child is raped, they're silenced, and the police are not told.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why American lawyers are going after Ratzinger, because that's international obstruction of justice. It's telling citizens in other countries to break the law of your own country to hide child rapists and protect them.
Yep.
He's written letters to the American and Irish bishops ordering them to do that.
And then in 2010, at Christmas, the Vatican has their Christmas dinner for the Curia. And what does Ratzinger say at that Christmas dinner? He says that...
Isn't that the one where he said rape is not a crime? It's just a sin.
He said pedophilia is not a crime. He said pedophilia is becoming normalized in our society and will one day be accepted. Yeah.
Look at the name. Pedophilia means friend of children.
Uh-huh.
Philia is the Greek word for one of the
brother.
Forms of love, which is friendship.
Yeah,
friendship
brother,
of children.
Yeah.
I mean, we're brainwashed with these terms to think it's a nice thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, really. It's like pedophile, audiophile, same thing. Just because I love music doesn't mean I'm going to break every recording artist I can run my hands on. I mean, but this is what they do. I mean, they've taken a crime and they've made it into a non-crime by their own order. And if anybody knows, like people who start knowing about this stuff, they start to get disgusted. And if they don't, there's something wrong with them.
Isn't there a common law legal maxim somewhere? It says, "Let those who will be fooled be fooled."
Uh huh.
I mean, no one anymore has the excuse. No one anymore has the excuse of ignorance. They know the crime. They know this is happening. If they go along with it, they bear the consequence. I mean, we've done what we can. We've warned them.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that there is, because of the Internet, there's almost nothing out there that people can't find out. If they have the intent and motivation, they can find out whatever they need to find out. So one has to ask, how insouciant, how cold-blooded can people be to watch stuff going on like this in the world, say nothing, and then expect it's not going to come to home to roost to them later on in some way?
Well, I mean, it isn't just mental dumbing down that's been going on in a big way. I mean, people are losing their mental faculties more and more. I don't think in another 10 to 20 years there's going to be human intelligence left on the planet. The vast majority of people are going to be so dumbed down that they won't even be able to remember things from the previous day. But it's a spiritual dumbing down. It's an emotional dumbing down. Well, you know, I think it was Helen Caldicott 30 years ago who said, if you knew your child was being raped or harmed and you had no emotional response, if somebody said your child's been killed and you just sat there with no emotional response, there'd be something wrong with you. You'd have to go to a shrink.
I'd say you're on
Prozac. That's the reaction we get. We say there's kids buried in the ground. There's kids disappearing right now, and people just stare at you, including activists. I mean, no emotional response here. I mean, what does that tell you?
Well, when you see that your children are being taught that there are six genders, and when you see that your children are being sexualized in grade 3, and when you see that there's one website in particular promoted by the Ontario education system, by the Ministry of Education, that has children sexually experimenting with vegetables, and that this is promoted to children before their teen years by our government, is there nobody with a sense of moral values these days? Is there nobody left? You know what I mean? It's like, holy crap. And now you've got thousands and thousands of children murdered, and thousands of children whose minds have been destroyed, and because it happened before, that doesn't count. And if it happened before, can it happen again? Absolutely. So it doesn't count now? Are we crazy? Apparently. You know, I mean, I don't know about anybody who's listening, but quite frankly, I feel sick being here. I almost don't want to be here anymore. I shouldn't say that loudly, because I'm pretty sure somebody in the government's going to make me happy on that score one day.
Well, you know, when I use the word reclamation, the first thing we have to do is not reclaim property or churches or anything like that. We've got to reclaim ourselves. We have to reclaim our minds and our hearts and our souls.
That's the first thing
that's being grabbed by them. So we got to. It's a lot of hard work to do that, but we all each have to do that, or we're useless. You know, we can't lead this fight over the long run.
While people are sitting there waiting for the second coming of Christ, they should remember that the second coming of Christ is more to do with Christ rising, what Christ taught, becoming part of the life of every one of us. In other words, you've got to become harmless. You've got to understand that you're part of a whole system of life that depends on everybody's acting in favor, in you know, pushing the aspect and the well-being of life. We're all part of a chain. We've forgotten that. It's every man for himself. And once we get to the point where the values that Christ taught start to be known and practiced by all of us, there's your second coming. They're sitting there waiting for Christ to come and save everybody.
Yeah.
While, you know, it's like, why don't you just fiddle while Rome burns? Because that's what's going on.
Well, the only reason the church has propagated that, the idea that Christ is doing it for you, is because that's what they did. They substituted themselves for Christ.
Exactly.
The vicar of Christ, vicarious, you know what that means under the law?
Yeah.
Like a replacement, a substitute.
Uh-huh.
Well, vicar means the replacement of Christ.
Uh-huh.
They're not a Christian organization. They Catholicism
never were.
Is a different religion.
Never were. Yeah. Even Christ himself is quoted as saying many times, don't worship me, worship my Father. I'm not anything special. You can be just like me.
Yeah,
you know?
It's in Matthew, call no one on earth Father. Yep, in black and white, right there in the Bible. I'm surprised they haven't cut that passage out.
Well, you know, when they went through the Bible and cut out all these relevant passages to things like reincarnation, all kinds of things like that, they cut out in the 5th century. And,
oh, and the King James Bible cut out any use of the word tyrant as well. In the Geneva Bible of the Reformation, it's got the use of the word tyrant 400 times. In the King James Bible, it's not there once. So these are political documents, you know.
Of course they are. And they're revised because, oh, well, look, this is coming from the church. We can believe everybody in the church because they're men of God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, men of God go around raping little kids and covering up crimes of raping little kids and murdering little kids. And I don't care whose little kids they are, they're little kids. You know, a little kid is an innocent little soul. It's not something going around that ought to be stomped on. And these guys have been promoting crime through the promotion of the fear of God since time immemorial. They got people afraid of judgment and afraid that if they aren't part of the church, that they're never going to get to heaven. I mean,
well, you know, I think it was Harriet Nahanny who survived. She's a woman who survived. If you can survive these places, you know, the O'Byrne Residential School. I remember at one of her first meetings, she got up and said, "We knew right away that these priests and nuns don't believe their own faith, because if they believed in heaven and hell, they would never harm a child because they know they go to hell for it."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, you know, it's just all bullshit. They don't believe their own words. It's just designed to control people.
I wonder, Kevin, if you could say something about where you see your group moving now and what's in the future in terms of the decisions you've had and where you see that as moving.
Well, I mean, we're looking at this as a long-term movement over years. We're setting an example now. We hope to be a spark for other people to pick this up and run with it more. So not just community actions like reclamations and that. We're starting new common law court cases. We're working with groups in other countries for them to define what the issues are that they want to, you know, reclaim in their community. So we're going to be launching a lot of these court actions and community actions all over the place. I'm going in April down to the States, and then in May and June going over to Europe again to help coordinate all that. But for me, it's part of a bigger, as we've been talking about, it's part of a whole bigger long-term issue of how we take back our planet and the law. The thing about religion and the law is they're very similar. They're cults. They're run by priesthoods who tell us that they have special knowledge that nobody else has. Well, that's not true. We all have inherent understanding of natural law, and from that natural religion, which is simply the mind of creation in us, and we have to awake that in people. And I think so. This is like a spiritual reformation we're talking about too. And it's the kinds of things we're doing: the church actions, the education, identifying mass grave sites in Canada, bringing those children home for proper burial. All of that stuff is going to be flowing out of the work we're doing, and if people want to follow that work, one of the next cases we're thinking of is looking into the connection between Big Pharma and the Vatican. And there's a lot of evidence out there now about how this is carrying on. So, you know, if just follow us at itccs.org, and there'll be updates every few days, and there are updates regularly about all of this stuff.
Yeah, it's it's not a time to sit back and just wait for the inevitable to happen. This is a time when people have to really get their act together and learn what's going on. I mean, people think that ignorance is bliss, and it may be blissful not to know anything, and it may be a happier thing not to know what's going on. But when it starts hitting, when it starts coming home to roost, if you don't know what's going on, you can't plan to save yourself or anyone else. And it's a lot bigger than just Aboriginals. It's a lot bigger than just Canadians and just Americans or just anybody.
Well, you know, acting on what we know is true is like has become dormant in us, and that has got to be revived. It's like a muscle that needs exercise. And to give you an example, the initial reaction people often have is they write to me and say, well, are we allowed to do this? And I read back, I don't know, are you? That's a question you have to answer. Just do something, and you'll learn from it. So there's a group in Ireland that's been working with us for a number of years. And at first, they were doing the regular kind of leafleting and handing out stuff at churches and calling on the church to do the right thing. But, that, you know, that's all a dead end. So it's gotten so far now that these guys are, one of them, John Deegan, chains himself to the pulpit of the main Catholic cathedral in Dublin, pro-cathedral. And I went in there last time I was over there. He's got these guys so intimidated that Archbishop Dermot Martin, whenever he's in town, he makes a point of seeing John Deegan and asking him, you know, are you going to do this again, please? Because the Garda, the Irish police, they won't intervene. John Deegan's doing nothing illegal. These are taxpayer-supported churches, so they're public space. Anybody can go into a church. They're not breaking the law by doing this. And so, you know, John Deegan met, he issued, there's going to be a posting about this over the next few days at itccs.org, but John Deegan actually issued a letter on behalf of ITCCS Ireland, and it said, the Pope is a convicted criminal, we will stop the church occupations at Dublin if you formally disaffiliate from Rome. So we're driving a wedge between the bishops and Rome, and this is part of the whole thing. They're already thinking about doing this. This is like a reformation, you know, and it's going to have amazing repercussions.
Well, you know, people have that power. And when people get together and start using their power, they get results. I mean, I have often referred back to the people of Bell, California, who found out that their city council and their all of the people who ran their little city were all corrupt, including the chief of police, who claimed that, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to get a $250,000 a year salary. Uh-huh. Right. Well, what did they do? As a group, they put them all in jail, every last one of them.
Like in Liverpool, too.
Exactly.
Season the corrupt judge and toss him out of the courtroom.
So if we want these things to happen, we can make them happen.
Yep.
We can. The only thing stopping us is fear, which is...
Yeah, and also simple organization. I mean, you got to have a group that you work with consistently on this. You can't do it once or it's like pissing in the wind, you know?
Yeah.
You got to get a group that are dedicated to this. You realize it's going to span your whole life. You have to have a new priority in life. Saving the planet, saving our children, saving ourselves, right? Because we're all under attack. It's a massive war against all three of those things. And so, you know, you got to commit to it and see that as the center of your life. And otherwise, don't even bother because, you know, people want this quick result thing, you know. You know, they'll write me and say, hey, have you arrested the Pope yet? Yeah, me personally? No. It requires more of you responding, right? Get off your ass, people.
Uh-huh.
You set the example, now do it.
Well, what do they say? Evil thrives when good men do nothing, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're watching it thrive, aren't we? We are sure watching it thrive right about now. So it's a question of what we want thriving in our world. If we want evil thriving, then sure, sit in your armchair and watch it all go to hell. Go ahead, fill your boots. You know, but for the rest of us who maybe want to have a life and maybe want our children to have a life and maybe our grandchildren to have a country to come home to and, you know, maybe those of us who want to keep our bank accounts and those of us who want to keep our freedoms and those of us who want to keep our kids primarily alive and under our control, not the government's control, guess what? Time to stand up.
And go up to your cops, you know, go to the local police and tell them, you know, tell them the basic facts about the criminality of the Queen. Any oath of allegiance under the Queen is invalid because you cannot take an oath of allegiance to a convicted felon. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? So, where are we now? We need a new arrangement because there's a void now in town.
Oh, it's getting cuter and cuter and cuter as it goes,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's getting fun.
Yeah. Well, I imagine
it's get even more fun.
It's going to get even more fun as you go. It's going to be even more fun. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know what I mean? It's like every time one of these guys takes a body blow, I go, yes, right on. And maybe it's time for some of them to start thinking that, well, gee, maybe if I turn on my criminal buddies, they'll forgive me. like...
Well, that's what we're already seeing, that they're falling out among themselves.
They will do like, that. So maybe if we started actively offering them amnesty in exchange for information, maybe we get them ratting on Joe Rat.
Well, that's,
where do you see that happening, Kevin, where people are turning on themselves?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Ratzinger stepped down on February 11th. He was ordered to do so by Cardinal Bertone, who's the real power behind the throne, the Secretary of State for the Vatican, after they got the notice, the coming arrest warrant from this European government that still hasn't gone public with it because it was diplomatic correspondence. But, no, he was forced out, and Bertone himself is the one who released... Do you remember the VataLeaks thing last year?
Yep.
VataLeaks, they pinned it on the Butler, but those documents about Ratzinger came from the Secretary of State's office, which the Butler couldn't have had access to.
Exactly.
So they released that to pin it on Ratzinger, because it's the same month that they took out the head of the Vatican Bank, Gaudi Tadeschi, because he was about to squeal on the mafia laundering, money laundering going on through the Vatican Bank. So Bertone's been manipulating this, and he had an agreement with the Jesuits because they're a big arm, financial arm of the Vatican. A lot of the financial stuff is handled through the Jesuits. So their
boy now is
in place.
Now, maybe that's why we have Bergoglio as a pope who is a Jesuit.
Oh,
maybe that was
exactly
part of the deal. We'll help you if you give us the pope position.
Yeah, and they're doing this brilliant spin operation now where he's posing like another Oscar Romero or Francis of Assisi, where he loves the poor and he's got a new style. He's not in the people's throne anymore. He's just this ordinary guy.
Uh-huh.
Total horseshit.
That's why he was stealing newborn babies from women he had murdered.
Yeah, they did that
such a nice guy.
In Argentina, just like in Spain.
Yep. Just he's such a nice guy that he was literally trafficking in human babies and having people murdered and beaten and arrested and everything else.
Do you see any hope in the Catholic Church?
No.
From what you're describing, do you see anyone in the Catholic Church who wants to stand up for righteousness?
Oh, yeah. Well, I see people all the time, but it's like saying, were they good Nazis? Were they good Germans? I mean, you can have that conscience as an individual, but what you support every day, where you put your energy, who you identify with, where you put your money, that determines what your guilt or innocence on this stuff, not your beliefs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've been saying to Catholics, it's time to come out now. You've got to leave. And people are responding here and there, but, you know, the level of, I know, having been a clergyman, the level of brainwashing and control and fear in churches is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I wouldn't expect it to happen overnight, but it's beginning to thaw, I would say.
That's excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, people are getting a little wiser on a lot of fronts, and the more...
I see a lot of changes.
It's really interesting to me to see that the more they know, the more that comes out, because there's more contributors of information. Now the people that were withholding information are no longer withholding it. And
that'll happen more and more. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the dangers is we get overloaded with information and it becomes so overwhelming, you know, that it's hard to know what to do sometimes. So we've got to be...
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons is, you know, I mean, people have been trained, you can't fight City Hall. We've been hearing that mantra for a long, long time. And then they get finally get hit on their own toes by something. Like
I noticed we're coming down to the last minutes of the show, so maybe Kevin, you might just give your website again and your contacts for if people wanted to contact you.
Yep. The website is www.itccs.org. And that's for the International Tribunal into Crimes of Church and State, itccs.org. The TV site is itccs.tv. That's where all the videos are posted. The genocide in Canada's, all of the evidence that we used in the common law court case is at hiddennolonger.com, and that's where you can also see Unrepentant.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that
great
movie, by the way, get Kleenex. You're going to need it.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And also, if people want to get a hold of me, I'm on speaking tour for the next few months. I am coming back to Eastern Canada and the U.S., so you can reach me at hiddenfromhistory1, like the number one, hiddenfromhistory1@gmail.com.
Great.
Okay. Are you going to be, you're going to come out Eastern Canada? Do you know what dates that is scheduled for? Or are you coming to Ottawa?
When I come back, yeah, I'll be coming through Eastern Canada in June on my way back from Europe. So, yeah, we can certainly arrange stuff. Yep.
Yeah, great.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll get on that, and we might even have our TV image back by then. It would be good. But at any rate, this is, I mean,
great.
It's always a revelation. Welcome to Revelations, people. It's always a revelation having you on the show, Kev. It's I mean, I on the one hand, I can say jump for joy. We got Kevin on the show, and on the other hand, it's oh my God, look what we got to listen to this week.
Yeah, really.
Some weeks we'll talk about
Kevin. Something
more.
You really are. You're such a brave soul to have stuck through everything you've been through.
Yeah, I know people.
Well,
a lot of people don't like it, but we do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the professional ones who are hired not to like me and to raise all sorts of lies and smears, I mean, that's to be expected. But, I mean, the truth is what outweighs everything and outlasts everything. So you just keep standing on that and you can't lose.
Yeah, well, one of those people, just before we go here, let's just mention our friend Greg Renew.
No, let's not.
GenuineWitty.com. What an idiot. What an idiot.
Well, I mean, you know what? The point is, he's really out of date. I mean, these people are really anachronistic, and even the things they raise, all of that stuff they're saying is being disproven. Nobody's even listening to these people anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't even like to mention them and give them a forum, because that's the only way they continue, right?
Well, some of it was going around this week, so I just thought I'd mention that, because, you know, it's such a pile of crap. And one piece of information you send out will wipe out anything they put out. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, one of the reasons that's starting again is one of the people we served was Inspector Peter Montague of E Division of the RCMP.
Petey Baby.
Joshua Lemens. Montague is one of the people undoubtedly paying, if not removed, than people like him, because his main job is black ops. And he led the attack on the Gustafson Lake people. He led the attack on our group for a number of years. So, yeah, Joshua Lemons tried to serve the arrest warrant on Montague. He went right to RCMP headquarters. That's posted up on our ITCCS.org site if you want to go back a few weeks. So, you know, they're hiding out, all of these guys.
We're going to have to let Kevin go, and we're right down to the end of our hour. Thanks very much, Kevin.
Thanks, you guys.
I hope
I'll
can get you
soon.
Back on when you come back
anytime.
From Europe.
I'll give you updates before then, too, if you like. But
great. Excellent.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
You take care.
Okay.
Keep your head low, and we're all behind you.
Yeah.
Okay, Dee.
Okay, Kevin. See you
soon,
I hope. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Kevin.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just like, every time you turn around, okay, every time you turn around, it doesn't matter who you got on. It doesn't matter what area you're talking about. Every time you turn around, there is more stuff being exposed these days, and everything that's being exposed is enough to make you just hurl.
Yeah.
You know? Like, holy crap.
It's terrible. To me, it's just all terrible.
Yeah, well, now it's dinner time, and I don't have an appetite anymore.
Anyway, Dee, thanks again for bringing on our guest, and that was really excellent having Kevin on. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
My website's at www.zeropoint.ca, and Dee, you have a site where you write now. Couldn't you just mention that?
Yeah, I've got a blog site people might want to pay attention to. It's www.dnicholson.wordpress.com.
Okay, so we're right down to the end of the show. Thank you, BBS, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
We will indeed.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.